this morning. We would like to quiet our heart and sit by your feet and listen to what you have to say. And in those days, how you bless Moses' parents. And I pray that today's days, as we are parents too, and I pray that you help us to be and no ordinary parents, and help us to be a special one, dedicated to you and greatly used by you, so that in the future when we see you face to face, we will be richly rewarded, not only in the future but also in our present life. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, and help us to understand your will, and not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, in the New Testament, there are two portions of the scripture talk about Moses' parents. I want you to write that down. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. You write down. Acts chapter 7, verse 20, all the way to 22. Acts chapter 7 is the message preached by Stephen, and he was stoned to death. Now, first of all, I read that one more time to see these two preachers, do they preach the same thing? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid Moses for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edicts. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. At that time, Moses was born. At what time? At what time? I want you to write that down, circle the word at that time. You write down 17 to 19. As the time drew near, as the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn baby so that they would die. Not all the newborn baby, only the boy, not the girl. Because the Egyptians want to destroy the nations of Israel. If you give birth to a baby, if it happened to be a boy, and the Egyptian will throw your baby boy into the Nile River. If you keep going like that, 40, 50 years later, the whole nation will be destroyed. But they keep the girl so that they become Egyptian. So I go back to verse 20. At that time is a difficult time. They were mistreated. Brother and sister, I don't know about you, but if you say that you are God's people and you don't have the word of God in your heart, when people mistreated you, and I think you're going to start complaining to God. Am I God's people? Aren't you saying to me that you're going to bless me? And how come I will be mistreated? Brother and sister, if you know ahead of time that people are going to mistreat you, then you prepare yourself. You're not going to argue. I want you to write that down. Right beside 19, Acts chapter 7, verse 19. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefather by forcing them to throw out their newborn baby boy so that they would die. Right beside 7:19, I would like you to write down what God said to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Abram asked God in verse 8, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of the promised land? And then in verse 13, then the Lord said to Abram, Know for certain, circle that three words, know for certain that your descendants will be stranger in a country not their own. This country is Egypt. And they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. Verse 14. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. And afterward, they will come out with great possessions. In other words, if anyone mistreat you, God say, I'm going to deal with them. After I deal with them, and I'm going to bless you. First come the suffering, then come the glory. And I'm glad, Abraham, I want you to write that down. Verse 13, Genesis, the Lord said to Abram, who is he? I want you to write that down. You write down Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. Abraham is a prophet. Abraham is a prophet. He hears God's word. He passes along to his own children. So I want to stop here and take a look at that. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham know for certain. Know what he's talking about, and then he speaks to Isaac. Isaac speaks to Jacob. Jacob speaks to Levi. Levi speaks to Kohen. Kohen speaks to speak to Moses. One generation, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I want you to write this chart and then write what God said. I say it, you deny, Jesus Christ will dwell within your heart, and then make a new covenant with you. And then he said, the Holy Spirit that I give it to you, and the word that I give it to you, when I say to you, make for sure that you know what you're talking about, you hide it within your heart. Do not depart from your mouth. Do not depart from the mouth of your children, nor the children after your children, until 1,000 generations. This is the 7th generation. Brother and sister, in the midst of suffering, a lot of people complain, forget God's word, and ask why. What do you mean why? Genesis chapter 15, he told you already, 7 generations before, right? They know better. So, isn't it in the New Testament, Paul saying to us, first come the suffering, and then come the glory. Isn't it what he's trying to say? Isn't it what he's trying to say in 2 Timothy? If you can endure in your affliction, if you can endure in your suffering with Jesus Christ, you're gonna, for sure, you're gonna reign with Jesus Christ. Isn't it what he's trying to say? But if you don't hear this kind of message, you say, oh, you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll get blessing. Lo and behold, and suddenly you get affliction and suffering, you're gonna walk away from Christ. I want to go back. Acts chapter 7. God has already promised Abraham that your descendant will dwell in a place not their home. At that time, he didn't tell him that this is the place called Egypt. But later on, we know all. This is Egypt. And then the Bible say, they will mistreat you. They deal with you treacherously. And then oppress you. And force you to do things that you don't want to do. And in fact, I know that a lot of Jewish people, when they are forced to throw their baby boy into the Nile River, they submit to their king edicts and kill their own son. Lo and behold, there's only one family. Hannah. What's the name of his wife? And they give birth to Miriam, give birth to Aaron, and give birth to baby Moses. But I want to add one more thing. If anyone say a bad word about Moses, get up, pay me. Submit to your husband. Okay, go back. Where are we? Can I tell you where the Bible say? Go back to First Chronicle, chapter 6, verse 3. Start with verse 1 first. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The son of Kohath is Amram. Verse 3. The children of Amram is Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. Miriam is the elder sister, okay? They put the boy's name first. I want you to go back to Numbers. Chapter 26, name of Moses' mother. Verse 59. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi. Amram is of the tribe of Levi. His wife, Jochebed, is of the tribe of Levi too. I want you to write down these Bible verses, 26, number 26, 59. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 2. You write that down. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levi woman. The man, you write down Amram, and then you write down the Bible verses I gave it to you. And Levi woman, you write down Jochebed, and write down the Bible verses. And verse 2. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, he got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister, it's called Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. And we know that. We know the story very well. I don't need to read that. But one thing I want to mention. Chapter 2, verse 1, circle the word. That man, Amram, is of the tribe of Levi. And Jochebed is of the tribe of Levi too. Because of Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, mention about these families of the tribe of Levi, and you and I know that. A few weeks ago, I talked about the blessing from Jacob to his descendants, and Levi don't get that much of a blessing. But lo and behold, Levi, Amram, Levi, Jochebed, they memorized God's word. The whole thing was changed. Ever since Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and the Lord used Levi's family to be preachers, to spread the word of God, to be priests, to serve in the temple of God. Brother and sister, it's all to you. When Abraham, who is a prophet, who hears God's word, and he passed it on to his son Isaac, Jacob, Levi, Kohath, and his teenager, Aviv, and Amram, and Moses. Brother and sister, when you remember God's word, and you pass it on to your children, and lo and behold, Moses believed in it, and Moses' parents believed in it, ever since then, they are greatly used. How can you be a preacher? How can you be the one who preached the word of God if you don't even remember God's word? So that's why, among the 12 tribes, God only picked one tribe, the tribe of Levi. Levi is the third son of Jacob. Not the first, not the second, not the fourth. The fourth is Judah. The 11th is Joseph. None of them remember God's word. Only Levites remember God's word. So ever since then, God could use that family to be the priest, to be able to serve God in the temple.
and they get a higher blessing. Is this good? It's all to you, right? If today, after today, you make a decision, start memorizing God's word. I don't know that God will call me. At that time in the Westside Church, they have a campaign saying that we're going to give you a prize if you remember 30 Bible verses, and then you get a bigger prize if you remember 100 Bible verses. I take the 100. And lo and behold, and then God spoke to me, I want you to be a pastor. This is it. Right? Now I want to give you a few proof. Even though God called you, you cannot feel proud about that. It is by grace. Proof number one. Philippians 2:12-13. It is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. If it is not God who is at work in a ram, not in work, if it is not God who is at work in Josephus, his parent would not be a special parent. What makes them special is they remember God's word, and then God's word is at work in them, and they submit. They say, yes, me. I hear your word. Use me. I'm going to do it. You understand what I'm trying to say? Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation is what these special parents, Abraham and Josephus, work out their salvation. They know that Egyptians are mistreated there, but they know that ahead of time, the prophet Abraham has already foretold them already. They are well prepared. So that's why they believe in the word that's spoken by Abraham. He knows that Abraham is a prophet. He believed in the word of the prophet. So that's why he becomes successful. And it is written in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Have faith in the Lord, you'll be prosperous. Have faith in his prophet, you will be successful. They have faith in the word of the Lord, and then the word of the Lord is at work in them to will and to act. The reason why he's not afraid of king decree, king edicts, because he feared God's edicts through Abraham. You know what? If you call yourself a Christian and you don't have God's word within your heart, someone say something, make you afraid, you'll be so afraid. Then you throw the towel. Say, no, I'm not going to believe in Jesus anymore. Brother and sister, make sure you walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Start memorizing God's word as much as you can. Just like you earn money. The Bible says, wisdom or the word of God is more precious than silver and gold. It can save your life. And if you have God's word within your heart, then God can call you and give you a better job.
Proof number two. Okay, go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I want you to memorize these words. Philippians chapter 2. It is God who is at work in you. If it is only God who is at work in you, then it's not good.
It is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. And that's how God blessed the tribe of Levi. Although in Genesis, Levi don't get the blessing. But now, he got the blessing. So it is all up to us. If we do the right thing, we will get the blessing. It is God who is at work in you. You will and you act. You do God's will, make the right decision. You act according to God's word, then in the end, you will be richly blessed. Right beside 2:13, you write that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. It's a lot easier to remember. Paul said, and we also thank God continuously, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Circle the word. The word of God is at work in you who believe. If you do not believe, the word of God cannot be at work in you. If you want the word of God to be at work in you, you have to believe it. And I also want you to circle the word. When they receive the word of God, they don't say, oh, this is the word of man. But actually, Paul said, the word that I spoke to you is the word of God. You write that? 1 Corinthians 14:37. Paul said that every word that I write is the word of God. Is the word of Jesus Christ. Every word. If anybody thinks that he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let me acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If you believe in the word of God will be at work in you. If you believe in God, God is at work in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. You cannot rely upon your own strength. Yesterday we studied the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, and the Bible, the prophet Ezekiel said, we are weak ill. I'm not weak ill. Weak will. We have to acknowledge that we are weak will. We need God is at work in us to will and to want and to act according to it. Making a decision is not difficult by your own. But if God is at work in you to will, then you rely upon Him to help you to make the right decision. After you make the right decision, how can you execute? To do it, you need God to what? To help you to act. So it's all my words. Thanks God for that. Paul told us that. Philippians 2:13, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and then 1 Corinthians 14:37. Every word that is written in the Bible is God written. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 3,
verse 16 to 13. All scripture is God-breathed for four reasons. For teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. So that God's people are thoroughly equipped, are thoroughly trained to do good work. When you do good work, to do the work of the Lord, in the future, you'll be richly rewarded. You'll be richly rewarded. So that's why that's why Paul go on saying, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to do God's word. Train yourself to allow God to be at work in you to will and to act. Allow the word of God to be at work in your life because you believe in it. To be a companion, to be a co-worker with God. Walk with God, Emmanuel. And then in the end, you'll be richly rewarded. And Paul goes on saying, physical training is of little value. But it's not as great. But godliness. And train yourself to obey God. Train yourself to have faith in God and to trust God. Hold two promises. The promise to get blessing in this present life and the present and the promise to get blessing in the future life. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, the latter part of verse 7. Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Right beside present life, I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 2. Take a look at what kind of blessing that the Amram, the father of Moses, and Josephus, the mother of Moses, received. Chapter 2 verse 1. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbed. She saw the basket among the reed and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry for him, and this is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister, Miriam, asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. That's the blessing. Josephus and Amram hid the baby boy Moses for 3 months until they can no longer do it. And then they placed it among the reed. And then see what's the outcome. Now, Josephus get paid to nurture Moses until he grew up. Verse 9. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. That's the blessing for present life. In the future life, Moses' name become great name. Everybody know Moses. In the future, he can reign with Jesus Christ, same as his parents. You know what's the difference? The difference is some has God's word hidden within their heart, some doesn't. That makes a difference. So The woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, I don't know how old is older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Brother and sister, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to listen to the word of God and hide it within your heart and trust and obey His word. Take the risk to do His will. Allow God to be at work in your heart to will and to act according to His good purpose. When you do things according to His good purpose, He going to bless you according to His purpose too. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever perceived what God has prepared for those who love Him, who do His will, and who act according to His good purpose. For physical training is of some value. You know, I see that a lot of people willing to spend a lot of time because they know that they feel physically fit. They think that they can live longer. Physical training cannot help you to live longer. Physical training can help you to live a life that is a lot more healthy, that's all. But cannot make you live longer. Okay? But godliness, the one who fears the Lord, can lengthen your life. You write that. Isaiah 38. Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, when he was told by the prophet Isaiah, prepare for your death. And he cried. He prayed to God. God gave him 15 more years. You can go and exercise, okay? You know, it's very sad, you know. The world is changing us. We listen to what the man say, and but it's of somewhere involved. But we don't listen to God's say. I say that one more time. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Those days, Amram and Josephus, Moses' parents, is no ordinary parents. They are special. They fear God's word, they believe in God's word, and then they pass God's word to Moses, even though Moses got training in Egypt, but Moses knew he is not an Egyptian. He knew he's an Israelite. He's of the tribe of Levi. He knows that God is going to use him. I want you to turn in Exodus. Take a look at what else Moses' parents tell Moses. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. The Bible says, the Israelites did as Moses instructed, and ask the Egyptian for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. 36. The Lord has made the Egyptian favorably disposed towards the people, and they give them what they ask for. So they plunder the Egyptian. How come Moses instructed the Israelite? The reason why Moses instructed Israelite, because God instructed Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. You will take their possession. You will take their treasure. You will take their silver and gold from them. You will not leave them with an empty hand, because God is a fair God, is a just God. When they were mistreated, when the Egyptian people are mistreated the Israelite, and God avenged, and they're going to pay them back in one lump sum. Brother and sister, don't mistreat other people. God going to take it out from the treasure, because God is a fair God. Don't leave Exodus chapter 12. Go back to Genesis chapter 15. God said to Abraham, know for certain, make sure you know that, your descendant will be stranger in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved. Enslaved, that means don't get paid for doing the work, and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves. And afterward, they will come out with great possession. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Abraham know that. He passed on to Isaac. Isaac tell Jacob. Jacob tell the 12 sons. But Levi remember that. And Levi tell Kohen. Kohen tell Abraham, Moses, father, and Moses, mother, Josephus, and then Moses knew that. And then Moses tell Israel, make sure that you don't go with empty handed. You ask for it. You don't force them. You ask for it. You give me this. And they give right away because they're scared of them. If they're scared of them, that means what? That means Lamentation chapter 3 verse 37. Who can speak and have it happen? Unless the Lord decreed. You ask for it. You try to ask for someone like, give me silver, give me gold, give me clothing. He's going to kick your butt, okay? Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. But if you ask for it, they give it to you. I'm not forcing you. I'm just asking you. Give it to me. They give. Because they were so afraid of the Israel. Because the firstborn has already been dead. Just like what Moses has been taken. So they scale. Brother and sister, what belongs to the Israelite belongs to Israel. You cannot enslave them. You cannot mistreat them. You mistreat them, and God can take it back. But if you don't know the background and say, wow, you know, how come you are supposed to be Christian? You are God's people. How come you plunder the other people? God is a fair God, is a righteous God, is a just God. Leave room to God. Don't take revenge. It is I, said the Lord, take revenge and pay you back. God is a good God. Second thing. And you know what? Moses got all the training in Egypt, and yet he knew God's will. He knew that when they leave the place, they didn't take the possession from the Egyptian. Second thing. Go back to Genesis chapter 15. The time. Verse 14. And I will punish the nation they served as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your father in peace and be buried at good old age.
verse 16. In the fourth generation, your descendant will come back here, for the sins of the Amorite has not yet reached its full measure. And then in verse 13, know for certain that your descendant will be stranger for how long? For 400 years. For 400 years, for four generations, for the reason that Amorite sin has to reach to the full measure before God judged them. And then I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's division left Egypt. I want to stop here. Isn't it the Bible say in verse 13, in verse 13 of Genesis chapter 15, 13, they will mistreat you 400 years, and after four generations, your descendant will come back here to the promised land? And how come 430 years? Now let me do the calculation. When they live right at 430 years, at that time Moses is how old? He's 80 years old. But you and I know that in Exodus chapter 2, at the age of 40, Moses knew that God used him to be a leader, to lead his people out of Egypt. But they say, who made you to be my leader? So in other words, if I subtract 40, 390 years they can get out. Moses at that time at the age of 40. Of course, this pastor is not well equipped, he's not experienced. But you don't want a young pastor, you suffer more. You know how many more people die? Many more people die, baby boy. God said they mistreated you for 400 years, but because they keep praying, God said, okay, 390 they go. Moses good enough. When God say Moses good enough, but you say not good enough, right? Then you suffer more. Learn that lesson. Don't ever think that you are better than the preacher, or else you will suffer more. He's not good enough at that time when he's 40, right? He's not good enough, but yet God can still use him. But because God's people rejected him, so God trained him 40 more years. But in the meantime, he suffered more, and more baby boys died. Third thing that I think Amram and Josephus passed on to Moses is regarding the covenant of Joseph. So that's why when Moses led his people, left that place, in Exodus chapter 13, they carried the coffin. 13:19, Moses took the bone of Joseph with him because Joseph has made the sons of Israel swear an oath. And he has said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bone up with you from this place. Brother and sister, you know, he knows the time. He knows. Swear. At that time when he is 40 years old, he's already 390. He knows that God used him, but his people don't know. When you have God's word, you know. You know when God is going to use you. But at that time, you're not well equipped. Go back to Exodus chapter 2. When Moses is 40 years old, one day after Moses had grown up, right down 40 years old, he went out to where his own people were and washed them at their hard labor. He,
he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and one of his own people glancing this way and that way, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who make you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Moses knew them at the age of 40, and God could use him to be the redeemer, to redeem his people, bring his people out of Egypt, but they don't listen to Moses. The more you have God's word hide within your heart, the less possibility you can sin against God. Just like Psalm 119 verse 11. The psalmist prayed to God, O Lord, I hide your word within my heart, that I might not sin against you. If they know God's word is only 400 years, they will mistreat us. Now 390, and then we know that this guy, we heard about that, this guy is Egyptian. No, he's not Egyptian. He's Israelite. His name is Moses. We heard about the story. Maybe he's the one who will redeem us. And besides, he's well educated. He knows everything. Right? Unfortunately, only the pastor Moses knows. The congregation don't know. That's why Paul said one thing. I want to turn that. If you want to get blessing, you got to have the same faith as the pastor. And all the congregation have the same kind of faith. And Paul know about that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Only the pastor know the faith, know the word of God is not good enough. Cannot deliver the congregation. Chapter 4. I want to start with verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. And Paul knows it fully well. Even though God is at work in you, it's God's grace come to you. And this is why it says, when Jesus Christ ascended on high, he led captive in his train, he gave gift to man. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? And he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heaven in order to fill the whole universe. Verse 11. It is he is Jesus Christ, who gave some to be apostle, some to be prophet, some to be evangelist, and some to be pastor and teacher. Why? Is to prepare God's people for work of service. So that train them so that they know how to serve God in God's way. So that they know that with God's grace, they can make the right decision and they can do the right thing. It is God who is at work in you to will and to act according to his purpose. So that in the future, you will richly be blessed. Okay? It's to prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until, circle the verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith. Until we all reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Brother and sister, if Paul being mature is not good enough, the congregation, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I don't even believe in what you say. The pastor, when he preaches, he has to preach the word of God. The congregation, when they hear, they have to hear the word of God. And then we all have faith in the word of God. Have faith in the Lord, your God, you'll be upheld. Have faith in the prophet,
you'll be successful. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the sons of God and became mature, when we became mature, we are attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When we become mature, then we act like Jesus. When they see you, they see Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we have heard what you have said to us. Help us to be a special parent, not to be wishy-washy. We have heard God's word not just 10 years, it's over 30 years. Help us to remember and help us to will and to act according to your good purpose. We know you are good. You are just God. What will happen to your children? You tell them ahead of time so that they won't be surprised. When we believe in your word and act on it, we will be saved and we will be blessed. So that's why Moses is still alive and her mother got paid to nurture her, to nurture him. At the same time, God can use his son. Not only use Moses, later on use Aaron too. Also their descendant to a thousand generations. It makes a lot of difference whether you know God's word or not. Help us to remember this sermon and hide it within our heart, and we can do something about it. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.